We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rah-rah, but you know, you kind of have the presence on the field and you kind of set the tone for your team. So just by your body language and actions and emotions back there, everyone's looking at you. You know, we're the only guy that's getting stared at by everybody else out there.
Braves catcher Tyler Flowers bringing us back in the Kia Studios. Randy Mack, John Chukri, hanging out with you today. Piece of big news that is breaking in the world of sports, if you haven't seen. Reports are that Mike Trout and the Los Angeles Angels are finalizing the largest contract in professional sports history. The reports are that Trout is about to sign a 12-year, $430 million deal to stay with Los Angeles.
How about that?
Wow. How much is that per year?
A lot.
A latte, as they say at Starbucks. Yeah.
It don't even matter. That's a lot. But no, and
$430 million. By the way, do they guarantee all the money in baseball?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're getting all that.
Half a bill.
Now wait for the one. Wait for that analytic dork that has to break it down by tax in California and how much he's really going to get, man. Yeah.
And what's his BIP value at age 33?
Yeah, that mess. Goodness gracious.
Well, I guess Philadelphia is not going to have Mike Trout.
No, they're not going to get Mike. He can still go to Eagles games. And
now, what'll be interesting is, does he sign the same kind of deal that Bryce Harper with no trade and no opt out and all that kind of stuff?
That'd be the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean. Whew, that's a lot.
They better win out there because they've got Pujols is toward the end. They've got Ohtani. They've got Trout. They better win out there.
What do you think Ohtani's going to end up doing? You think?
I think they're going to let him play both. Yeah. I love it. I love Ohtani.
I don't have a problem with
it. I love it. I love what he does for now. Key is, can he stay healthy? Because at some point, if it becomes another injury riddled year, then you're going to have to say, okay, you got to pick at this point. Because I think they try to almost overuse him at times. So, well, Braves very quickly coming up on opening day. We will talk to Brian Jordan at 1 o'clock today. But, Randy, obviously this is a very intriguing and interesting and fun season coming up for the Atlanta Braves. I think a lot of hype and a lot of excitement that we haven't had in a long time. Even during some of the good years, lots of good years for the Atlanta Braves, just the excitement level, because last year came out of nowhere. Last year was a season that nobody saw coming with 90 wins and a division title, and everybody kind of still thought we had maybe another year of rebuild or whatever you want to call it to take that next step, and maybe this year would be a year we break through. But now it's amazing in a year where expectations have changed. And we're going to ask you guys a question. You can reach us at 404-741-0929 on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Wendy, we're going to put a question up on Twitter. We'll put a question or poll up on Twitter. That's at 929 the game. We encourage you to go to our Twitter account. But the last time, Randy, can you remember the last time that you were kind of this excited for an Atlanta Braves season?
Probably the year after they won it all, man.
Yeah, because I think 96 was a big year for the Braves.
It is, and I was sitting out thinking, and I mean, if you weren't at the stadium, I think everybody can remember where they were when Sid Bream and them bad knees was rounding third.
Well, that's 90.
That's what I should have said. I meant 91 because of that year right there. When you talk about, that was a team that came out of nowhere also. And for them to win, even though they did end up losing in the World Series that year, just the fact that we didn't see that kind of success here in Atlanta,
right?
And it was a fun bunch, and it was. I think that was mine, and I was still young then. I think I was like 13, and I was all into Braves then. I think that's my year.
You know, Mark made a good comment yesterday about Chipper's last year, that there was a lot of buzz and excitement around the fact that Chipper was kind of on that farewell tour, doing the rocking chair tour. I'll say one of the years that I was really excited for was 2003 when they brought Gary Sheffield in,
right?
And they were moving Chipper to left field, and it was going to be Chipper, Andrew, and Sheffield. Those guys do pretty well.
They're all right.
I think 130 homers and 438 RBIs or something like that that year. Now, that's the Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, you know. That's where I got mad at Leo because he's like, well, you know, five game series, anything can happen. Dude, you had 438 RBIs out of your three outfielders. Don't give me this nonsense. Yeah. But it didn't end well for the Braves that year. But going in,
you had a lot of expectations.
That was a team that was stacked. Javi has his 40 homer year that year as well for that team.
Oh, to have a catcher that can do that again.
Are there any catchers that are? There's no catcher that's a 40 homer catcher nowadays in today's baseball.
But yeah, that Chipper year was special. I remember we were in San Diego, and I was at the game when San Diego gave him the surfboard. I was like, okay, the farewell tour of a Chipper Jones. But this year, I mean, you remember last year around this time? No.
Oh, we got fussed at.
Man, you got fussed at. It's going to wear off. Don't get too excited about this team. I'm just thinking, do y'all know what's been going on in the past few years here in Atlanta with this baseball team? Why can't we get excited?
Well, that was what we asked is, why is everybody got to, like, you know, stomp a mud hole on our parade? Why can't we have a little fun with it and enjoy the fact that they came out red hot and are scoring runs and all this kind of stuff? I mean, what was wrong with all that? The other part about it too, Randy, is not just the excitement level, but I think a lot of people have obviously changed the expectation level of what this season is supposed to be for the Atlanta Braves. And we talked yesterday about they're supposed to win the division, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what Philadelphia and the Mets and in Washington, but we won the division last year. I don't expect anything less out of this club this year.
You shouldn't. I mean, it goes back to something similar we talk about United. Don't we expect them to win the MLS championship? I can say that about the team in Fowler Branch. Don't we expect the Falcons this year to contend for a Super Bowl? Why not? They have holes at certain positions, but they're still one of the most talented teams in the NFL. Yeah, I expect them to win this division. I mean, now, did the other teams get better? Yeah. Do we think the Braves got better from last year than this year?
That's a good question. Does the roster of the Braves – here's the only reason I'll tell you yes, is that everybody's got a year under their belt now. Because this year you're starting with Ronald Acuna, game one.
Correct.
I don't have to hear about April contracts and arbitration hearings and things like that. Your pitching staff is a year older. Everybody, you know, Ozzie now is a year. Everybody's got a season under their belt that now everybody's more mature. And – look, Josh Donaldson is supposed to be an upgrade, right?
That's my question right there. With all that, if Josh is anywhere near his MVP form, will you look at that? I mean.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he could be the greatest boom or bust kind of player, right?
Yes, because free agency. He has the ability. We know that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the injuries and the more you talk about it, the more you look at it, do you want to just blame the last couple seasons on just injury? Because he didn't play a lot. So do you want to put it on the injury part of it?
I mean, don't you have to? I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
So I mean, here's the good thing. Randy Mack and John Chuckery in the Key Studios, we talked some Braves baseball and some of the expectations. Inviting you to go to our Twitter, at 929 The Game, asking you the question about when's the last time you've been this excited for a Braves season. Worst case scenario, though, Randy, at least you feel like there are some other answers at third base if Josh Donaldson does go down for, I mean, obviously, Johan Camargo, 19 homers, 76 RBIs.
Correct.
And eventually, that striper up there.
That they keep telling us about.
Yeah. Eventually, he's going to get a shot.
I think he.
Outfield, third,
somewhere.
I don't know, something.
I mean, you need that young man in his lineup. I just think so. I mean, and there are certain places where he can play. I think, you know, if he needs a day off or something, you put him out there, and you know, third base. You got to just like we talked about Camargo yesterday, where you got to find this guy. You said 5 days.
Yeah,
he has to be somewhere in the lineup. I think Austin Riley's that way also. And of course, you know, they're gonna wait to bring him up because of all that, you know, that nonsense that goes on with baseball. But
what's your biggest question from a positional player standpoint? Because I know what you think about some of the pitching staff. What's your biggest question about positional players?
Oh, it's definitely the catcher's position.
Yeah,
it's definitely it's like can. Because Tyler Fly, he's going to play more than he's ever played. And then, you know, Brian McCann, as much as we loved him and he was a great catcher, he's not that guy anymore. How much can he give you? But, yeah, I'm interested to see how long Tyler can just hang in there.
Well, my question to Gabe Burns the other night, Randy, was, are we expecting Tyler Flowers and Brian McCann to give you 162 games? And even his answer was no,
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you're going to see at some point some of the guys in their system. I don't think they're going out and getting a veteran. You're going to see some of the guys that they have in their system, Randy, that will make appearances on this club and get a chance to catch some games and get their feet wet, because there's no way you're going to tell me Tyler Flowers and Brian McCain got a 162 in them.
That's my question. Yeah. Like, how long can Tyler how long can he, you know, the durability part? Because we know that, you know, being a catcher is most durable, you know, you got to be one of the most durable players on the baseball field.
Yeah, even the best catchers, you know, though, in today's game, play probably 125, 130 games.
That's a hump right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge number. I mean, if you're 120, 130 games at catcher, even for the really good players, that's like, because I'll bet you Real Muto doesn't even catch that many games, because he'll play first when they play American League teams, he'll get some DH time. Yeah.
Some people think he's actually going to end up at first.
Oh, yeah, he might.
Yeah, a lot of people think
he's going to. Because he played a decent amount of first in Miami for them. I don't know that his, you know, it's kind of like Joe Mauer. I don't know that he can be, you know, for the next decade, he's behind the plate. Right. You know, I mean, that wear down factor will shorten your career at that position. So you've seen Joe Mauer had to make that change as well. But no, I think it's great that, with what the Braves did last year, now we get really a chance to get amped up and really have some expectation about, hey, let's go. Right. I mean, it's all kind of come together. And we talked yesterday about, you can tell me it's a year early or this, that, and the other. Okay, I don't care about all that. That now, where are we? We're in the now, and let's go do this thing. Let's go do it. I mean, now, I still think they're one of the three or four best teams in the National League on paper right now.
I can't argue with you, but I think when you have young players and expectations, that's always a scary thing.
Right.
And that's in any sport. It's always a scary thing with young players and expectations. But from what I see from the young core on this squad, I think they're fine. They can handle it. I just think they're built to the right side. I think Ozzy and Acuna, these guys, we know Johan Camargo, they are built for this. They're built for expectations.
Randy McMichael, John Shuckry, back in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, as we get ready for NCAA tourney action. Georgia State going to take on Houston in the NCAA tournament. Dukes and Bell had a chance to catch up with the head coach, Ron Hunter, and get his thoughts about their upcoming matchup against the Cougars.
5 seconds to go. Chisholm dribbling into the front court. Up to James Wall. Wall gets fouled as the buzzer sounds. That's your ball game here in New Orleans. Georgia State has beaten UT Arlington 73-64, and the Panthers are going dancing for the second consecutive year. The Panthers are headed to the NCAA tournament, the fifth in program history.
That was the call by Dave Cohen on WAOK yesterday. And joining us in studio is the guy behind it all, Ron Hunter. Head basketball coach at Georgia State. Congratulations, coach.
I appreciate that. I know I've done something well because you guys invited me in, man. I know when it's that time of year. When I get an invitation to come in here, that I've done something pretty good. So I'm happy to be here.
And you're for winning the Sun Belt, we give you a six-pack of Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. Congratulations, coach.
Oh, there it is. That's yours.
Man, it's probably the best thing I've gotten all day.
Let's talk about another run at this thing. We said it all season long, and for those who are not aware, Coach Hunter, we have the privilege of visiting with him each and every week here on the show. And, you know, when the season started, man, it was kind of like, okay, we're getting this thing going. And then we got to a stretch where, you know, sometimes we felt like, all right, is the team as focused as it needed to be? And you kept saying, hey, if we play defense the way we need to play, we're going to be where we need to be. Was that the case yesterday as well?
Man, that was the case for the entire weekend. We were probably the best two games back-to-back that I've been coaching for 30 years. That we played defensively. I mean, it was lights out. I mean, I don't care who we would have played this weekend. We were just flying all over the place. Offensively, I'll be honest with you, probably two of the worst that we had all year. But we were so good defensively and so focused that, again, I don't think it would have mattered. Our kids were really locked in. You know, I talked to you guys earlier about the process of trying to get there, especially when you got a veteran team. And sometimes you kind of go through that little rocky road. But, you know, with all of us said, we still won the league and we still won a conference tournament and we're still going to the NCAA tournament. So, everyone's excited. Everything happened. You know, all the pressure, all the stuff, all the bullseye and all that.
Right.
In between there, we beat some good teams. Alabama beat Georgia. And so we're excited, ready to go.
Now, I was going to say the RPI was actually high enough where you might even have had a chance for a play-in game if you didn't win the Sun Belt. Because you have those out-of-conference games, that help the kids? I mean, confidence? How many guys have experience and know what it takes in this tournament?
Yeah, you know, that's a big thing. I think last year when this group went in, you know, I think they thought they could beat Cincinnati, but I don't think truly they believed it. You know, and so you get in the game, and all of a sudden 4 minutes to go, and it's a two-possession game, and we couldn't make a shot. That same team's coming back, but we're better. Mm-hmm. And so and now we're playing a Houston team, which is really in the same league as in as Cincinnati. So I think we'll be a lot more ready. The experience of that with this group will help us. And, you know, because last year that group, we didn't have the RJ group. So those guys were gone. So now going back-to-back, I think this team's ready to play. And we got a good team. There's no question, you know, that we're going to play a good team. Kelvin's done a great job with Houston. Well-coached. They got athleticism. They can really shoot it. But, you know, we'll have that little chip on our shoulder and be ready to play.
What are you telling Simons in this situation? I asked you this last week. You said, I only need him to get me, you know, 35, 10, and 10. But how do you get everybody on the same page? We need him to play well, mm-hmm. but we need everybody else to elevate their game as well. How do you approach that, Coach?
Well, and that's what they're doing. I mean, our other guys are definitely elevating their game. You know, you got to remember, everything that happens in Georgia State basketball, the focus point is him. The scouting report's on him. Let's stop him. Let's put two or three guys on him. And he's doing a great job of actually, you know, there were three or four times, actually, he could have shot it, but he threw the ball to Malik. Mm-hmm. And because Malik had a great game, he ended up being the MVP. And so everybody talks about, well, what's wrong with DeMarcus? But DeMarcus is making unbelievable
plays.
Making
the right plays.
He's making the right plays. Yeah. And so for us to win, sometimes he might only have to get 15. But get six assists and six rebounds, and now we can win the game. See, what happened with us when we played Cincinnati, he gets 30, but we lose the game because no one else is there. That's why we're a better team this year. We got five guys averaging double figures now. So he doesn't have to have that monster game for us to win in the tournament.
You were a 14 seed. You took out Baylor, by the way, back in the day, as Ron Hunter's live in studio.
How can we forget that, Mike Bell?
And you were a 14 seed, again, going up against a 31-3 Houston team. Are the pairings, we talked about this off the air, are they overrated? Is it more for us to talk about on the radio, or how even are all these teams?
Yeah, you know, I love the media, but that's just a media thing, man. I think seeding is you know, especially, even sometimes I hear coaches mad because of their seed. There's 68 teams going to tournament. They're all good. I mean, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, you got good teams. Just go play and win. All that seeding talk, all that other crazy. Sometimes, you know, I love my business, but sometimes coaches get caught in this vortex or something, and they feel like they got to just say, oh, well, you know, we should have been our better seed. Shut up and just go play. You know, that's all it is. They're good teams. And I tell you what, I always say this. There are a lot more teams around the country who would love to be in this tournament. And so, you know, whether it's seeding or not. And so I don't really get involved with seeding. I knew we were going to play a good team, and that's why I ran out there and took that bus last night instead of taking that flight, because it didn't matter who we were going to play.
Speaking of that, it's Ron Hunter, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, head basketball coach at Georgia State. They are dancing. Tournament starts on Thursday, as you know, one of the most exciting events in the sporting world, and covering Final Fours over my years. I absolutely love this time of year. How did you guys find out about the tournament and your seeding and who you were playing?
Sometimes I think I'm crazy. I really do. I know my wife thinks I'm crazy, but
what's going on?
Well, because after the game, we cut the nets down, everything's going perfect, and I decide, man, let's just get on a bus and let's have a party bus and let's just drive back to Atlanta. Let's get some food, let's get happy, blah, blah, blah. Everybody says, yeah, Coach, let's do it. So we get on there to find out the TVs don't show CBS. So we're driving down the highway from Louisiana, and Mike Holmes is here. I said, he said, Coach, in 10 minutes, they're going to tell us who the pairings are. So I told the bus driver, I said, listen, stop at the first truck stop that has a television. So we can go in. He said, Coach, we're just crossed the Mississippi border. Oh, there's a truck stop 3 miles. So I said, pull in there. We pull into the truck stop on a bus. Now, I got all these kids from Atlanta City, guys. We pull in this little truck stop in Mississippi. There was a bar right at the truck stop called, what's it called? The Red Zone.
Oh, that sounds welcoming.
The Red Zone. So I walk in there. There are eight guys in the bar, probably between ages 75 and 95. I walk in, tall, 6'4", nice-looking black guy, and they look at me and say, can we help you? I said, listen, I don't know. I got a basketball team, and I just want a TV so we can see. And the guy looked at me, and he said, sure, you the coach? I said, yeah. So I brought my guys in. My guys wouldn't get off the bus. I said, guys, I'm telling you, it's okay.
It's not Mississippi burning. Like, know, we just want to see the TV.
So I said,
I'm not going, coach.
So I got them off the bus. We get in there. All of a sudden, the guy turns on the CBS. Oh, we had about 35, 40 people. They come in, they get in this little bitty bar. We're hugging these 85-year-old men. Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, it said that we're playing Houston. We start hugging these guys. They didn't know what was going on. It was a one of the best experiences I had in my life. So I took the guy's card and I told him, I wish I could fly him there to the game with him. I'm going to send him a jersey and some stuff. But it was those guys just stared at us. And so when we were pulling off, they walked outside the bar and they were just waving goodbye to us. And it was so funny because I'm leaving and the owner comes by and he said, now, what school are you with, coach?
who are those guys?
That's a great story, man. That's a great story.
Ron Hunter. So that's how the kids found out.
That's how they found out,
who
man.
They were playing and what seat.
A truck stop in Mississippi.
Gosh. Truck stop in Mississippi, man. My guy literally, coach, I ain't getting off this bus. I said, man, it's okay. They said, there's no security. I said, we don't need security. We're fine, man.
I love it. The kids are like, man, I'm not going. Oh, that's great. All right, coach, as we talk about this tournament, and obviously everybody's talking about, you know, the one seeds, and you go into this, and I think that you go in relaxed, right? You go in.
With house money, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. I don't know what the expectation is. You just said it. The expectation was, can you win the Sun Belt again and get back? You've done it 2 years in a row. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah. You know, really, it's always all about that. But more importantly with this group is that I'm going to enjoy this one more because it won't be their first time. A lot of times when the players are first time, I want them to enjoy the experience. And they may never get back. You can never take these things for granted. Now we've gone back now. Again, there'll be a little more serious tone about the preparation. I'll probably keep the media away a little bit more. But I'm still going to let – because these are seniors. All these guys, when they're all gone. I do want them to enjoy the moment. Even in practice when we kind of met today, you could just tell it was a little more business-like experience about it. They all believe they can beat Houston, although they know Houston's a good team, that we're going to play somebody. But, again, I think more than important what helped us is that we've now beaten Alabama. We've now beaten a Georgia. We've gone to some places and we've beaten teams that people said we couldn't beat. So again, I think that we're going to be ready.
And the good news is you got two working knees. Remember last time when you beat Baylor, you had you on the scooter and your knee was all jacked up, falling off the chair and all that?
But you know what? I got to say this. I love when I come in here. There's about a block from here. When I first took the job at Georgia State, I didn't know anything about it. And on the first day, I had lunch with a friend of mine. And I'll never forget this. Right on the corner here. And I won't call this guy out. He said, Coach, do not take the Georgia State job. You will never get him to the NCAA tournament. I'm a friend of yours. Do not take this job. Now, I hope he's listening, and I love this dude. But, man, I'm not one of those dudes that said, I told you so. I'm not. But I just looked to my left, and I saw that little cafe that we had lunch in.
Right?
I love when somebody tell me that I can't do something. You know, and so I didn't want to go off kilter there. But I just
You told Brian Gregory, mind his own business, right?
How you doing? I love that shirt you got on, man.
You're right. And you know what? You have done it. I tweeted this out yesterday. Ron Hunter in studio with this guys. Falcon Report's on the way. But Ron Hunter, I tweeted this out. The best basketball program in the state is Georgia State men's basketball program, period. And I'm going to let you marinate on that for a moment. And it got hundreds of likes because I think people are finally paying attention to what's going on. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We wish you nothing but the best. We'll be watching and cheering you guys on. And let's go have some fun, man.
Oh, well, come on, man. You know me. We're going to have some fun. So, and you know how much I appreciate you guys. You guys have been great to us all year and definitely appreciate you. And let's keep doing this thing and let's come back next week at this time and we'll be talking about Sweet 16.
There we go. Right there on. He is. Best Ron luck, Hunter. Man. Great story, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's too funny.
Kids will never forget
Coach,
that.
I get off the bus, Coach.
It'll be 25 years. They'll be like, you remember that time Coach stopped in Mississippi?
Now Trey will pick it up, and the clock will start. He comes across on the right wing behind the screen. Now dribbles back to the middle. Trey, floater in the lane is good. Trey Young with a 20-point game, and the Hawks down trail 92-87.
Steve Ullman on the call there. Atlanta Hawks tonight. Hawks basketball versus the Houston Rockets. Pregame at 7 o'clock, 7:30 tip-off. On your home for all things Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, back in the Kia Studios with you. Hey, Atlanta soccer fans, don't forget, join us 92.9 The Game at Carriage Kia in Woodstock. Coming up from noon to 2, this coming Saturday. It's a meet and greet. You can meet Michael Parkhurst, Jeff Lorenowitz from Atlanta United, plus Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. They're going to be broadcasting live and talking all things about Atlanta United. Stop by for a chance to win cool prizes, including an autographed Michael Parkhurst jersey. Sure Kyler Murray is making the right decision to go play football?
He's making the right decision because that's his decision. Okay. I mean, of course everybody's, you should play baseball. Do we know that he's going to be that good? Do we know that he is going to be the Bryce Bryce Harper or Mike Trout good? Or
he's got to beat half that to get a lot of money.
That's true. That is true.
So Hawks in action tonight, Randy. You know, the question that I have for folks is, has this team exceeded your expectations? Has Trey, you know, Trey Young has been red hot. And I think that the Hawks, if they're not first, they're the second highest scoring team, first or second highest scoring team since the All-Star break.
First,
I know they kind of laid an egg the other night against 83 points the other night against Orlando. But they've been the best scoring team in the NBA since the All-Star break. And we've seen such great progression out of Trae Young and John Collins this year. In your mind, has Trae Young been better than advertised, about what you thought? Where do you see him at?
I don't really have an opinion because I didn't have any real high expectations on him. I thought he was going to do what he does. And what he does at Oklahoma, he's doing here as far as his vision. We know he can shoot the basketball. I'm more impressed with the durability. I mean, him and DeAndre Bembry are the only guys that have played in every game this year. And Trey started every game. So, I mean, for him to be a slight of built, I mean, he got some toughness about him. But, I mean, I never get too caught up in any sport in the guy's first year, because it's all about, can you do it again? I mean, that's what makes a career. And he looks like he has the goods. He looks like he's that point guard that you need. And, you know, Luka got off to such a good start,
right?
You know, and I think that it's kind of like how Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson was in the Heisman race, and they gave it to Deshaun already. Gave it to Lamar, even though Deshaun was playing well. It's kind of like that right now. But, I mean, the young man looks like he got goods.
18 points and almost 8 assists a night. The other thing too, Randy, that you mentioned about his minutes, so he's about at 31 minutes a night now. And we talked a few weeks ago about making sure, look, this last 20, 30 games at that point stretch, get his minutes up. Let him get his sea legs underneath. Now, remember, during that stretch, he had a 43-minute night. He had a 50-minute, you know, in the four overtimes and stuff like that. So that obviously helps. 33.5% from three-point line. Is that a number that's okay in your book, where basically he's one out of three behind the arc? Or do you expect him that he'll grow into being a better three-point shooter than that?
I mean, one out of three is not bad when you're shooting from the three-point arc. But the way he shoots the ball and the expectation when he was coming in, because you saw the highlights of where he was pulling from when he was at Oklahoma, I think he can get somewhere a little bit above that. I mean, you would like him to be hovering around
37, 40. 38. Yeah.
You would love to be hovering somewhere around that. But when you take the kind of shots that he takes, because he's pulling from deep, the percentage is going to go down. But no, I think everything that we knew about Trae Young, he can shoot. We knew that, you know, that his vision was unbelievable, and you've seen all that. And he has a nice handle. He can get to the hole. You saw that at Oklahoma, him get to the hole. You didn't think that, you know, because he's so small here in the NBA, it would be a little harder, which it has been, but it hasn't been something that holds him back.
Right.
So, yeah.
To me, he looks like, Randy, realistically, that next year he could be a 20-point, 10 assist kind of guy. And especially, Randy, if they add one or two more big draft picks in, you know, add a couple of offensive pieces, whether they add somebody through free agency, whether they, you know, it's because of who they draft, whatever. Because John Collins looks like, to me,
he's a real deal.
Yeah. I mean, does he look like he could be like 24 and 12?
He looks like that kind of guy.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about, you know, we're minutes. When you talk about per 36 minutes, you know, right now John Collins is 24 and 12 on a per 36-minute basis. Trae Young is 22 and 9 on a per 36-minute basis. You know, next year when those guys are probably more in that 32, 33-minute, and some folks may say, well, what difference does a minute or here or 2 minutes there?
Get you three extra shots.
Four or five extra shots. It actually, over the course of 80 games, it means quite a bit. And especially when you start to talk about, you know, the Hawks. If I said in 2 years the Hawks have to be a playoff team, is that okay?
And how many?
2 years.
Why can't they do one next year?
Well, it could be, but, I mean, would you be upset if they weren't a playoff team next year?
No.
Now, the year after that, I would tell you it's time to start making a move.
But they did move up the timeline, right? Didn't Travis Schlenk go ahead and say, you know, we might need to move this thing up? So what if they are able to get a nice draft pick this year and then maybe a mid-level free agent or something this summer. Wouldn't your expectations go up a little bit?
Probably, yeah. Especially in the Eastern Conference. Right. I mean, especially given what the Eastern Conference is. Randy McMichael, John Chukwu, as we talk in the Key Studios about some Hawks basketball, they will be on tonight against the Houston Rockets, pregame at 7 o'clock, 7:30 tip-off with Steve Holman on the call. Obviously, for a roster like this, we expect that there'll be some changes because they went into the season with the Jeremy Lins and the Vince Carters, and you had to get some bodies, you know, in here to mix in with the young guys. It'll be curious to see, Randy, how many draft pick guys, because think about it, Spellman, Young, who am I missing? Kevin Herter.
Right.
You know, that's three rookies that you had on your roster.
Right.
They realistically may have another at least three rookies on their roster going into next year, right? I mean, if they get a good pick from Dallas, they get their pick, and, you know, if they have a, you know, they get another second round or something, wouldn't surprise you that they could have another three rookies. And you think about that, Randy, they could have, what, seven or eight guys that are only, what, three seasons or less?
Yeah.
On their roster? I mean, three-quarters of your rosters, you know, going to be two-thirds of your rosters going to be guys that are 3 years or less in the league?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a young squad. Another guy I think they like, Alex Lynn's been playing well for him, too.
Yes.
And he seems like he's a guy that they might want to keep around. But, yeah, I mean, that was the ultimate thing when you're talking about moving on from Coach Bud and all that. They were talking about the youth movement, basically, because it seems like you can't get one of those guys. And nowadays, what we attribute to success to in the NBA, you got to have a superstar. Or, you know, you got to bring them in free agency. And, you know, as it has always been, these guys don't want to come play in Atlanta.
Right. I mean, when you look at some of the guys that I think some people thought, Randy, that could take the next step forward, the Taurean Prince, yes. The DeAndre Bembry, Dwayne Dedmon, do any of those guys kind of shake out to you as real building block pieces to go with Trey and John?
Maybe Taurean. I mean, because there was some expectation that he was going to take that step and everything.
I think a lot of people were hoping.
Hoping that he would take that step or whatever, because we know where the game is going. It's becoming a perimeter-oriented game with the guys who 6'6 to 6'9 can switch everything because it's such a pick and roll and all that stuff. And he had the measurables that you were looking for.
Right.
He's had some moments.
Sure.
You know, injuries and other stuff has kind of slowed him down this year. But
he's 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists.
I mean, that'll get you, you know, with Bazemore.
$50 million, yeah. I mean, because we know Bazemore's going to be in his last year. And I'm wondering if there's any way they would try to find a way to move him.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they've been trying.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, obviously, he has a player option. So he's going to pick up his
– Oh, yeah.
What is it? Is it 17?
It's about 16, 17 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's picking that up.
Yeah, he's picking that up all day long.
Yeah.
So he'll pick up that option. And then from there, they have to figure out – I would tell you, obviously, the Atlanta Hawks time for Kent Bazemore, if it moved on, is time. I mean,
he's a good guy, though.
Yeah.
Nice man. Nice.
Nothing personal.
Good guy.
Just business. I mean, when you pay lots of money for 12-5 guys, you know what you get? 12-5. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you get. He's 12-4. 12 points and 4 rebounds. I already looked it up for you. already looked it up for you on there. So, yeah, look. I think the Hawks have, in some ways, exceeded expectations from this standpoint, Randy, that the development of Trae Young and John Collins has been a lot of fun to watch,
yes.
Even Kevin Herter giving you some moments. Mm. I think for what I understand some fans have the angst of, well, they've won 24 games. That's more than I gave it, because I thought we were looking at about an 18-19 win type of team.
Wouldn't you be, like, happy if it was?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'm like... Wouldn't you be happy, you know, because that wasn't that kind of the plan?
But here's the thing. You can't be – the one caveat to that is don't be disappointed that your young guys are winning games for you, though.
I'm on that board. I'm on that bandwagon. We got so many other guys. No, we need them to lose. I mean, if they're playing well, they're going to win some games. But I do get the premise of playing well and still losing. It's not a workout unless everybody sees it.
Had the ponytail.
Like
with
the Steven Seagal ponytail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Randy McMichael, John Chukwu, hanging out with you here on a Tuesday afternoon, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can feel free to interact with the show. We stream online at 929thegame.com. All the radio replays and interviews that we do will be up online for you. Download the radio.com app. Put it on your phone, your tablet, your Walkman, your CD player, your boombox, whatever you got. That way you can always listen to us as you are on the go. All of the social media that we have for the station, always follow us at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Might even have Match, MySpace, Farmers Hookup. There's a lot of stuff that goes on our social media page. On Twitter, he is at RandyMac81. I am at JMCH316. Keep up with us. Great way to interact with the show. I'm going to talk to Brian Jordan here in just a little bit as we get into some Braves talk. And we will have a little fun coming up in the next segment as we will do a staple of our show where I get to learn a little bit about my cohort and try to become more like him. We will call it Pick Randy's Brain. Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our chat with Brian Jordan. Of course, he's brought to you by Atlanta Peach Movers. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's going on, Brian? Man.
Well, let me start, Brian, because one of the guys that I've been very intrigued that Randy and I have talked about and the role that he is going to play with the Braves this year is a guy who really had a breakout season with the 19 homers, 76 RBIs at third base, and that's Johan Camargo. And I want to get your thoughts, Brian. Do you think that the Braves are going to be trying to find, you know, 4 or 5 days a week to get Johan Camargo playing time and get his bat in the lineup?
Well, coming into the season, that's the strategy. I think Snicker knows that this guy is a great player. He proved himself last year. He led the team in RBIs in the second half of the season. As a fan, you almost get frustrated because he had to go out there and prove himself last year, and you feel like he's done that. And then you bring in Donaldson as a free agent, which is a great pick. Don't get it wrong, but at his expense. But in talking with Brian Snicker down in spring training, they're going to do all they can to get him in 100 games or more at different positions. I mean, the one thing that he's a valuable asset to the bench, and he gives guys rest, you know, because come September, these guys need to be strong. And with Camargo on the bench, he allows that to happen. So he will find somewhere to play, believe me.
Hey, Brian, we were talking earlier, and John asked me about any concerns as far as everyday field position players. And I said Tyler Flowers, and this probably will be the most games he will play since he's been in the majors. Do you think he can hold up, and how much do you think Brian McCann's got to play to help him out?
Randy, not so fast, man. It's a lot of right-handers, right-hand pitchers in the league. You know, and that's another conversation I had with Snick. You know, I'm like, hey, Brian McCann's will probably play more than you think. There's so many right-handers. So I almost say they're going to probably split time during the season. Yeah, I mean, Brian has shown in spring training he feels great. His knee is back to form, and he looks really good at the plate. So Brian Snicker is thinking about half the season for him and Flowers.
Brian Jordan on the WadeFord.com hotline joining us, of course, brought to you by Atlanta Peach Movers. Brian, what do you think the realistic number of games? So if I said to you 135 and give me over or under for what you think Josh Donaldson can play this season at third base for this club?
You know, I'm saying under simply because you have Camargo and you want to make sure down the stretch Donaldson is healthy and he's strong come September, October, because, you know, I truly feel like the Braves, the pitching staff, the young guys are going to do well this year and they'll be in it September. And, again, one of the things that Snick wants to do is make sure everybody's strong and healthy come September. So Donaldson will get some days. You know, it's all about he's a true veteran. He's on a one-year free agent deal, so I'm quite sure Donaldson's going to want to stay in that lineup and you know, put up the best numbers that he can because, you know, his future is on the line with this one-year deal.
Brian, listening to your interview with Andy Bucker down there with y'all had Snick on, he said they used 33 pitchers last year. Do you think they will come even remotely close to that again?
You know, we got so many young studs, man. I wouldn't be surprised. And especially early in the season, we got so many off days. You know, these guys are going to be an experiment, man. They're experimenting, these young guys, and they have the young guys that do it, to be honest, man. You know, there's no place for Max Fried. He has to get up to the big leagues and pitch. He proved himself last year. He had some ups and downs, as a young pitcher normally does. Bryce Wilson is having a fantastic spring training. You know, faced some good hitters last night, struggled a little bit, but he proved that he could pitch after going seven innings against Pittsburgh last year. So we have so many assets in the minors, man, that I think you have to give those guys a chance during the season. And I don't expect everybody going to be healthy in that starting rotation all season long. So it's a good problem to have if you snick.
Brian Jordan joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, always on Twitter, @2Sportman, if you want to follow along and get his insights, Fox Sports analyst for us. You know, Brian, let's talk about the top of this order. You know, one of the things that Snitker got criticized a little bit for last year was how long that he stuck with Ender Inciarte. And I get why. To me, personally, I mean, I know everybody loves Ronald Acuna, but, you know, your best base stealer is still Ender. And a guy who can get on base with some sneaky pop at the top and, you know, can be maybe between 30 to 40 steals for you. Do you think he's going to start out as the leadoff hitter? And if so, what if he gets off to that slow start again? Do you think Snitker's going to be a little bit more quick on the trigger about changing up the top of this order?
Well, again, that's another luxury that Brian Snitker and the Braves have. I mean, you have so much talent that you can pick and choose. Ideally, Inciarte should be the leadoff guy. If he can perform the way he did a couple of years ago, drive the ball the other way, get on base, make things happen, I think that's the lineup that everybody wants. They want Acuna hitting behind Freddie Freeman and driving in a lot of runs because guys are going to be on in front of him. I mean, so that's what they want to see with Donaldson hitting second and with Freeman protecting him. But, again, it depends on Inciarte. If he can continue to drive the ball the other way, get on base, I think the Braves will be successful with him at the front of the lineup.
Brian, we saw the Phillies make some big moves. The Washington Nationals, they have a lot of young talent. The Mets have made improvements. Nobody cares about the Marlins. But out of all the top four teams in the NL East, what do the Braves do better than any other of the other three teams?
They have a much better minor league system. They have a lot of young guys forcing guys in the big leagues to look over their shoulder. Nobody has that luxury, and that's something that the Braves do. You remember back in the 90s, before the Braves became the Braves, mm-hmm. You know, they used their minor league system to develop these guys, and all of a sudden they bring them up to the big league. And how many championships in a row? 14? I think that's the same mindset that Alex Anthopoulos in the front office has. I mean, we got to let these guys develop, and if they do develop the way we think they can, you know, we want to continue to go after championships year after year, not just 1 year and then go trade everybody. It's you want to be consistent like the 90s, and that's what they're trying to get back to.
Brian Jordan joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, you can always catch him on Fox Sports South as we get you ready for Braves baseball. Brian, let's put your GM hat on a little bit, because let's tie this into what happened today. We heard about the 12-year, $430 million. Aren't you wishing you didn't retire, Brian? $430 million contract for Mike Trout. Now, we know what Mike Trout is. This is Mickey Mantle incarnate, okay? But we have a guy on this team that a lot of people think can become one of the premier players in all of Major League Baseball. So much angst last year about bringing Ronald Acuna up to get to arbitration. But the reality is that you don't want to get to that point. And what I'm curious is, do you think Ronald Acuna Jr. is a guy that, let's say he produces like we think in a few years, that the Braves would be wise, or they have to go out and try to go ahead and lock him into a big-time deal long-term to secure him for his prime and not even get to arbitration?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, Mike Trout signs this long-term deal. One, he should thank Bryce Harper for starting the whole, you know, conversation of him coming to Philadelphia. You know, believe me, that opened the eyes of the Angels to make sure they wrap up their prize possession. And to me, he's the best player in the game. But Acuna can be the best player of the game. He has that much talent. And I was just talking to Bobby and Assistant General Manager Perry about this very thing, you know, looking at the 13 years that Bryce Harper got. I said, God, what are you going to do when Acuna, you know, comes to that point? And if he has another great year this year and put up some crazy numbers, he's at that point, you know, because you don't want to lose that asset. You don't want to keep waiting and waiting till him and his agent gets angry and holds it against you. So, you know, you're looking at the deals they're throwing around now, man. I mean, baseball's going in the wrong direction, you know, because you're going to have these high-priced players and then nobody in between. And that's what, you know, Players Association don't want to see. You know, the owners used to complain about not having money, and now all of a sudden you see them throwing $432 million contracts out there. I mean, you know, it's trending the wrong way, and it's going to be interesting to see what the future looks like.
Brian, with all those young arms you talked about, do you think the Braves might go out and get a veteran pitcher out there to eat up some innings like that, like they had Aníbal Sanchez last year?
Only if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody keeps talking about Keuchel. You know, Keuchel and his agent and Kimbrel and his agent, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're not going to get the 5-6 year deals. And until they come down to 2-3 year deals, nobody's going to listen to them. And if they do come down, it's something that I think the Braves would have interest in. You know, Kimbrel, bringing Kimbrel back, or Keuchel, who's a veteran who's proved himself. He's a ground ball pitcher, and he can really help this lineup and help some of these young guys. So, you know, but if it makes sense, I think they'll go out and do it. So I know a lot of fans are saying they didn't spend enough money, but you got to spend the money smart. And I think that's what the Braves are trying to do.
Brian, do you think you can put some of these young pitchers in the bullpen to try and get them some kind of experience, even if it doesn't mean them starting the game?
You know, I would hate to see that happen, mm-hmm. because, you know, you look at Kyle Wright, he's a starter. Leave him out there, even if you got to leave him in AAA until that chance comes. I think you really hinder these guys when you take them out of that role just to carry them on your roster.
Right.
It does them no good. And I think you have enough bullpen guys, young bullpen guys that's used to being in the bullpen to get away with it, you know. So I'm still concerned about the closer position. I've made that clear. This guy, you know, right now he's going to probably be the man, but he's been so inconsistent over the last couple of years, it's hard to put your money on him. So, you know, until he goes out there and figures it out and be consistent, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Last thing for you, Brian. What do you think this team hopes Adam Duvall's role is going into the season?
Well, Adam Duvall has to make the team first, guys. I mean, really? You know, he hit a couple home runs early, but, I mean, he hasn't clearly won that spot. And you got Camargo, who's playing a little outfield. You got Culberson, who proved himself last year in the outfield. So, I mean, he has to continue these next couple of weeks to prove that he's going to be that guy off the bench. So he's not a shoe-in, guys.
Check him out on Twitter. You can follow him at 2Sportman. Brian Jordan, join us here in the WaitForIt.com hotline. Brian, appreciate it, buddy. Always good stuff. Talk to you here soon.
Appreciate it, B.
All right, guys. Take care, man.
There you go.
A
little Braves baseball for you. Going to have a little fun when we get back. We have a little segment that Randy and I do where we call it Pick Randy's Brain. We'll get to all of that next. Oh, we still got 2 minutes. Sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, that Mike Trout. And the Ronald Acuña Jr. I mean, as soon as he got that money, I knew, I was like, oh God, how many people don't go, oh, Acuña's gonna get $500 million.
Well, if they wait till he's an arbitration eligible player, he will.
You know, but let's just wait. I know we're excited. We got this young stud. Just wait. Let's just wait.
Remember that the Angels locked up Mike Trout early.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember, they didn't wait on his first. This is his second contract.
Yes,
this
is
an extension of his current deal. They didn't wait until. Because that's the part that drove me crazy. Well, we got him for this many years. Okay, you don't wait till guys become arbitration eligible to start deciding if they're going to stay with you.
Especially if you know they're that kind
that
of
level.
Talent.
Exactly.
Yes, I
exactly.
agree with that.
I mean, it's a whole different story when you have maybe a pitcher whose arm might fall off by the time he's 26 years old.
Right.
Different when you have a 21-year-old positional player that you think is going to be the face of your franchise for a decade. So the Angels didn't mess around originally with Mike Trout. This is, okay, we are locked in to baseball's best player for the rest of his career. I mean, that's what this is. This is not just about Mike Trout the player. This is about Mike Trout and the business the Angels want to be in of Mike Trout as the face of Major League Baseball.
They're going to win?
I don't know. They better hope Otani and they better hope that Albert Pujols can found the Fountain of Youth because
– Well, that ain't going to happen with Pujols.
And Andrelton Simmons has been a tremendous shortstop. He's still the best defensive shortstop. His bat has been, you know, up and down, but they need some pieces because you're right, Randy. Look. See that club in Houston out in the West?
Yeah.
They ain't going anywhere.
Anytime soon.
And you know what they're doing? They're going to get more guys. We're going to get Garrett Cole and Justin. You know, we're going to get more guys out of it. Okay, now, Mark, are you happy? Are you happy now? Now we can go to break and say, coming up next, we will pick Randy's brain. I'm always early and often, so we'll do all that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Randy McMichael, John Chuck, we're hanging out with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And this segment is going to be brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is your daily fantasy simplified. Use the promo code 929 at myprize at prizepicks.com. Well, in order for me to learn a little bit about how to become successful, and I'm trying to make my way through this crazy thing we called life, this is my chance to learn a bit about my cohort where we call this thing Pick Randy's Brain. Now, this is a segment where we have 10 questions for our member of hashtag Team Have. He is the 2018 92.9 The Game Sixth Man of the Year. He's a frequent contributor to John Clayton's SiriusXM show and Dog Nation Daily. Former Falcons radio network host, tied for 210th all-time on the NFL reception list, Alex Marvez's favorite Dolphin, the man who stole the 1997 Georgia High School North-South All-Star MVP trophy, full-on media members confirmed by London Fletcher, Greene County, Georgia, star of the video Cooking with Randy. It is online on YouTube and Cafe McMichael. No chicken breasts, only chicken thighs. Salty toward Dave Wanstead on Twitter. Number one on 247's all-time UGA offensive depth chart at tight end, even though nice guy Ben Watson would have called me to come out and hang with Marine and them at Top Golf on a Saturday night, but that's okay. Nominated by the Finsider, Finsider.com, as one of the favorite forgotten Dolphins. Purveyor of the Butthurt Julio Fanboy Club. Brian Estridge's go-to bowl game color analyst. And the man who finally has his Dolphins alumni jacket. Here we go, Randy McMichael.
Okay.
Baseball player you hated growing up. Baseball player that you hated growing up.
You want me to be honest?
Yes.
I hated Randy Johnson.
Really?
I hated Randy. I just thought
the complexion and everything, just his look?
Yeah, just his look. I just couldn't stand him. I really didn't.
Really?
He's a hell of a player, but I just couldn't stand Randy Johnson.
No, I mean, listen, a lot of great players get hated like that. You think people are going to start hating Mike Trout because he's making so much money?
Of course.
I mean, that's 2018 all over again, right?
Of course.
I think I know most of the answer to this. What are you allergic to?
Avocado.
Is that the only thing you're allergic to?
Mm-hmm.
Any other allergies?
It's crazy. I have a grass allergy.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm allergic to ragweed, so that comes out. That's a weed that comes out in the fall.
Okay.
That used to like break my skin out and all kinds of crazy stuff as a ute. So give me the – I'll let you, because you may not want to say the incident, but craziest incident or craziest teammate that you played with.
Craziest teammate. We had a guy, he came with us to Georgia, and all my boys that are listening, Josh Mallard. Josh Mallard, he's my buddy, but he had some issues, especially on like max day when he was trying to max out in the weight room.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't get like the max he was getting, and he would start yelling and start throwing stuff.
Like what was he throwing?
Like
weights?
Yes, weights. Yeah. Yeah. He was, Mallard was special, but and then we also played together in Miami.
When was this?
That was 99.
So Jim was there.
Yeah, Jim was there.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Mark wouldn't let that go.
No. He had some real life issues, and some of the funny thing were with the Lucky brothers. You remember the Lucky brothers?
Yeah.
They were funny when they would be fighting each other, like brothers fight each other.
Yeah.
That was
brothers fight,
there.
Right?
But it would be funny how they would be physically fighting each other in the locker room.
And I saw that all the time with brothers.
And when nobody go over and break it up, like.
No, because if you stepped in,
they're gonna fight
then they
you.
Both turn on you.
No,
yeah.
Three of them now. They're all three of them fighting each other about something.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you step into all that, then everybody turns on you at that point. So pick Randy's brain here. Give me we know you're cheap.
I'm not cheap.
You're cheap. Everybody knows you're cheap. Mark, you've hung around. He's cheap. I mean, we love Randy, but I mean, he's cheap.
Well, no, I wouldn't know because I've never actually gotten the invite to hang out with him.
Okay. He got the invite, all right? April 13th, all right? It's out there, okay?
Yeah, I know. You told me.
Okay.
You know, he's making up for it because he missed the opportunity to hang out a year ago.
Yeah, okay.
And now he's trying to make himself feel better about it.
That's all it is.
I appreciate
it. So what's one thing, though, that you're not – one thing you won't – you know, that you're not cheap about? One thing that you'll always go to Whole Foods and not Aldi for? I mean, anything in life.
Is it about food-wise?
Anything in life.
Hotels.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't like cheap hotels.
God, my ex-wife was that way. It's like if it ain't like 4.5 stars.
Yeah, I like nice hotels.
Like I look at the bill, like, and she's like, "Well, we got to have a nice place to stay." Yeah, I'm like, "We ain't in the hotel room."
Yeah, I'm very big on the hotels.
Really?
Very big.
Anywhere you go. Okay. Yes. No, that qualifies exactly. So, pick Randy's brain here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your favorite NBA backcourt of all time. Your favorite NBA backcourt of all time.
Because
we talked about your front court. That's the Celtics.
That's the Celtics. Yeah. Favorite?
Yeah. Parrish and Bird and McHale.
Probably, I go with MJ and BJ just because of MJ. So, yeah, Mike.
J. Armstrong fan?
Because it's Mike. Because Mike's in it. So, I go BJ.
So, it could have been like Ron Harper or anybody? Or just did you like BJ Armstrong more than
I like BJ Armstrong, actually. So,
that's actually, those Iowa teams in college that BJ Armstrong was on were really good. So,
I take that back. When Jason Williams came to Miami and him and D Wade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I go with that one.
Mine's Isaiah and Dumars.
It's hard to beat those two.
I still think I know it sounds crazy. I still think Isaiah is one of the more underrated players in the NBA.
We were talking in the bullpen. He's one of those guys that doesn't get enough respect.
No,
we were talking about him, remember Bruce Smith.
Because a lot of guys didn't like him, Randy. Yeah. A lot of guys didn't like
Isaiah. People don't realize how good Isaiah was.
Yeah, Isaiah was tremendous. And that started in high school and all the way through college. Remember, he was a sophomore when they won the national title. Let's see here. Give me your favorite. We just had Brian Jordan on. Give me your favorite two-sport athlete of all time, not Bo or Dion.
I don't know too many, so I guess Brian. I go with Brian. I go with Brian Jordan because, I mean, he's the only one I can think of off the top of my head that played two sports.
Kyler Murray was more recent.
I didn't see him play baseball. Right. I only seen him play one sport.
There's probably more out there that we just haven't thought about.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brian.
Who would you have taken over Bo or Dion?
Nobody.
Who would you have taken?
I'm not going to go there because you like to pit me against people.
No. I would never do that.
My favorite two-sport athlete was Bo Jackson.
Okay, so you hate Dion.
Yeah, see, I knew you were going to say that.
What?
Yeah. No,
Mark, Wendy, you heard it. He hates Dion. I mean, he didn't pick him, so he hates Dion.
Yeah, all right.
They don't know how we do this. So.
Media member Randy McMichael, not a fan of Dion.
Yes.
Not a
that, right that, could be your, that could be your headline moment. You want to post the audio real quick?
Yeah, we can do that.
He hates Dion. We heard it. Everybody knows it. You only get to eat either turkey burgers or turkey hot dogs the rest of your life. Which one are you eating?
Oh, my God. Because
you just ate a turkey burger.
I just ate a turkey burger, and I'm very ashamed.
Hey, let me tell you, I should have taken a picture of that because you give me all the grief about eating turkey burgers.
Yeah,
you just wolf one down.
And I should have just got me a hamburger, but I just wanted the turkey burger, and it. I got
what
Johnny.
Kind of bun was it on, by the
I don't
way?
Know. I took the bun off.
Okay. But that's what I'm going to do, too.
I got Johnny, man, over at Grindhouse.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's
man.
The best. Thank you for the food for the meeting today. But yeah, I go turkey burger. That'll be the only one I ever eat again, though.
Oh, you say that.
Yeah, I got.
You're trying to get, remember, fine for 40.
Fine for 40, yeah. I got to sacrifice some things.
Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, and the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game, where this is my chance to learn a little bit about my multi-year time cohort, Randy McMichael. We call this Pick Randy's Brain. Who was, for whatever reason, the quarterback you had the toughest time catching passes from?
Who threw the funky ball? We had a kid in, what was his name? I forgot his name. We were in St. Louis, and he had, because a lot of times I like to see, if you can see the ball come off the quarterback's hand.
Right.
And he had, like, it was easier to catch Phillip's ball than that because, you know, Phillip has the weird delivery.
Right,
but this kid, he had, like, a underarm, like, baseball sidearm.
Okay.
And so it would come It would come out real funky.
Did he spin it?
Oh, he it was coming fast.
Oh, okay.
It was coming fast. Like, I never had – like, I only played with one left-handed quarterback, and that was Greeny. And I didn't have a problem adjusting to the left-handed spin.
Yeah, so. Because I've heard that before as a left-handed quarterback.
Yeah, I never had the
issue. Who threw it the hardest?
The hardest thrower?
She ever played with.
I tell you who could sling it. And you got to be a diehard Georgia fan. No, Corey Phillips could throw the ball hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, that was the thing about Corey. Corey had no changeup or nothing. It was, boom! It was coming out. It was coming out hard and fast time.
That was kind of what Mike was known for.
Yeah.
He's your favorite soft wide receiver, would always talk about
that. Oh, yeah, that soft guy.
Yeah. His favorite soft Falcon wide receiver.
Yeah. He's soft. Mm-hmm. I said it.
No, he said it on air. Yeah. Anybody back there know who?
No clue.
Yeah, no matter.
Who?
No matter.
You hear him a lot on radio and stuff. Anyway. What?
Continue.
What is the – we know Lethal Weapon, you know, of course we're Riggs and Murtaugh, and that's the favorite movie franchise.
All right.
Franchise being you got to have at least three movies. What's the worst franchise movie franchise of all time?
Come on, John Chuckery.
Worst movie franchise of all time. I know what mine is. It's that whole Hobbit and Lord of the Rings stuff.
I was going to say that, but I guess I got to disqualify myself because I've never seen one episode of it.
That's three
or
too
movie.
Many.
I've never ever seen that.
Who? Those three or four movies, that would take you a week to just watch them straight. They're so long.
I just want to make everybody mad. So I'll say the Star Wars because they shouldn't. After the first two, they shouldn't have made another one.
Yeah, this year comes. You know, the last one, if you will, or at least the ninth one comes out the end of this year.
Yeah.
It better be better than the last one because the last one was dreadful.
Yeah.
But no, the original three Star Wars, you're wrong about.
What do you mean?
The Star Wars, Return of the, Empire Strikes
Back.
You
said I'm wrong?
Yeah, and Return of the Jedi.
You said I'm wrong?
Yeah, the rest of that stuff is the original Star Wars. You think that's the worst?
No, I said everything after that is garbage. Okay, I said they need to stop at those three.
I was going to say.
Force Awakens was pretty good.
Well, Wendy's shaking her head.
They've had a movie here or there, Mark. The Force Awakens was very good. I didn't mind. Rogue One was good. What's the last one of the middle three?
Last Jedi
or whatever. You know, when that toward the end, the last 45 minutes, that's pretty good. But by and large, those movies have been really bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they can have all that, man. No, the first three is mine. That's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, no, okay.
That's my wheelhouse.
All right. And finally, Randy, your Mount Rushmore of Prince songs. Your Mount Rushmore of Prince songs. This would be four Prince songs.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, okay.
Corvette. Die for You. I'm drawing a blank.
There's a lot to pick from.
Just like my mother.
When Doves Cry.
Yeah, When Doves Cry. Thank you. I couldn't think of the name.
So you hate Raspberry Beret.
I love Raspberry Beret.
You hate Batman, and you hate all that other stuff.
Can't stand it.
You hate it all.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all hot garbage.
Okay. Well, we got some NFL stuff to talk with you about as a former Jags quarterback. Now has a new job. We'll talk some NFL notes with you next. Randy Mack, John Chuckery in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.